on KVX 710.
Da da da. Well, I'm humming because I'm going to stay calm this hour. Absolutely. Where we want to begin with this whole puppy, Bob Enyard is with the Colorado chapter of Operation Rescue. He and other members of his pro-life group are upset, angered, and very much concerned that the Denver Police Department has not treated them with the kind of courtesy befitting their protest. Mr. Enyard is here in the studio with me right now, and I just want to say that after we talk with him, John Wyckoff, Denver Police Department, will share with us, and I appreciate that input, the Denver Police Department perspective. So good morning to you, sir, and welcome to KBX.
Good morning, Ken. Thank you. We're not really looking for courtesy. We're just looking to be treated with dignity and professionalism. Mm-hmm.
All right. What specific charges does Operation Rescue bring against Denver Police?
Okay, well, a lot of what I'll tell you, we have videotape evidence of, and very clear videotape. Mm-hmm. Every time we have a rescue in Denver, which has just been a few times, actually just two where there were arrests, the Denver Police Department sends out the SWAT team, the Metro SWAT team, and that's headed up by Captain Kasperson. And it is very clear from John Wyckoff and others that the policy that they are following is that they will inflict pain on our rescuers. They will twist fingers, twist arms. And our concern is not only that they do that much, but that they go farther. Mm-hmm. For example, Captain Kasperson grabbed one of our guys who was just standing, totally not provoking him in any way, not speaking or moving. He grabbed him, he threw him to the ground. He kneeled down with his body weight and kneed him in the groin a few times in a row.
Mm-hmm. What was the result of that? Not physical harm done, but I mean, what was the result? Did the person then comply with police orders?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Typically, when you inflict pain on someone who has a conscience that says they're not going to walk away because mm-hmm. they think they'd be walking away from the scene of a murder, that's another subject.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game of the officer's will and how much pain he's willing to inflict versus the amount of pain the rescuer can endure and the degree of his commitment.
Okay. I'm not naive, but I want some clarity here. I'm trying to establish, I understand what your politics is, the rescue, the pro-life aspect, but I'm trying to establish why you're there. Are you there to resist as long as possible being taken away from the entrance to a abortion center, or are you there to protest and be arrested, thereby bringing media attention to your protest?
We are there to rescue babies. That is why we are there. We are.
Well, but just a minute now. You're not inside. No abortions take place on the steps of these centers.
Sure.
So you're there to bring, now, when you say rescue babies, I will read a little bit into that and say you're there to stop abortion.
Right.
All right?
And we do that pretty effectively. The women don't get into the clinic. We get a chance to talk to them.
Is the way we're talking now?
Well, hopefully. We try.
Is there some yelling and intimidation?
Not by our counselors, no.
Okay, so your counselors, while you're... frontline troops are laying across the portal
right.
to abortion centers. Your counselors are holding a one-on-one valuable bit of dialogue outside the center with these women.
Well, we try for that. The Planned Parenthood escorts will hold the mothers. They'll speak right in their ears. They'll cover their eyes. They'll put them in a car and put blankets over the windows mm-hmm. so they can't see our pictures or hear our counseling.
You say to me, excuse me, miss, will you step into this vehicle with all this commotion going on? And these women get into the car, put a blanket over their head or whatever.
No, Planned Parenthood does that. They put a blanket.
Oh, you're saying Planned Parenthood
does
that.
They put them in a car. They put blankets over the windows and coats.
And what happens to the vehicle at the time?
They sit there and
is it because
we are all arrested. That's on the property.
Right, okay, I don't want to go back into that. I'm trying to stay away from that. I'm trying to find out what you're trying to accomplish by being arrested. The cameras of the community come to you in city after city across this country. National news announces when you're going to operate another strike attack against a den of infamy, an abortion center,
right.
And et cetera. So it seems to me you're accomplishing the public relations aspect of what it is you want. What's
that
the purpose?
That's not our goal, but that happens.
Okay, but what's the purpose? What do you weigh?
180.
Okay. When 100 and 80 or 90 pound police officer in a Sam Brown belt, a riot helmet, backed up by the detail that is assigned to him or her to keep order at this place, a request that after the level of enthusiasm that your protest generates reaches a certain point, that you not block an entrance or that you leave a pathway open. Do you believe that you can resist that without some degree of discomfort to you or the other members of your group?
I think that the whites and blacks 20 years ago down south who sat in at restaurants and bus stations believed that they had a real important reason for doing what they were doing, and the police chose to hit them with nightsticks and use dogs and water hoses, and that was all cruel and inhuman and uncivilized. They should have taken them away with dignity. Boulder arrested 125 people without an officer and without one of the rescuers getting hurt in any way. Denver comes in there, and John Wyckoff said it again on the air today, they want to teach us a lesson. They want to punish us. What he said this morning is they want to encourage us not to come back to Denver. I mean, that's not the police department's role. That's
no,
the judiciary's
but
role.
But it may not be. What's the most amount of pain that's been inflicted against you at one of these demonstrations, any place in the country?
We've had arms broken.
Against you personally?
Denver is the only city I've rescued in, I guess, five or six, where I've been hurt. And
how were you hurt?
Permanently. They twist fingers, arms, they stick their fingers in your ears. We have people, it was on the news the night of our rescue, that an officer stuck his fingers in one of our rescuers' nose to lift his head and carry him upside down.
I would imagine like a Brahma bull, the person came along, too.
Well, no, the person was in midair being carried by three officers, and the one officer, for good measure, stuck his fingers in his nose to prop up. I mean, he couldn't have walked or complied in any way at that point. Even a 12-year-old girl was roughed up.
I'm an old street reporter and photographer, 68 Democratic National Convention, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and so on. George Corley Wallace Cobo Hall in Detroit. Cobo Hall in Detroit, with press credentials flailing all over me, like dandruff on a blue jacket. I got knocked cold by a Detroit police officer. The interesting thing about being knocked unconscious is that it doesn't hurt. There's a dull thud. You don't even realize what happened. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, I got knocked unconscious again. Clearly, I was a member of the Working Press Corps. Clearly, when the Sierra hit the fan, things get wild and they go along. It was part of the turf. It was part of what you expect to happen, especially when the level of enthusiasm, which your people certainly have, it begins to spark and take fire. When you go out onto the line, people were taught during the 60s passive resistance. They were taught that you will be assaulted, the police will do everything to provoke you, and they took their lumps. And when you compare what your political goal is with the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s, there's a constitution, there's clear tenets of the Constitution that were being violated.
Well, Martin Luther King would be right there with us today. He was
but that would be a religious
killing of black children.
That would be a religious decision that Reverend King may or may not make. I don't know that. The odds are probably in your favor that he might.
Right.
But what I'm trying to establish is this was not a religious issue in America. There were clear passages in the Constitution, and I think that...
I don't believe it's a religious issue.
Well, you don't have to. You don't have to. There's nothing in the Constitution that says you have a right to prohibit a woman from the utilization of her body, whether it's prostitution or an abortion, period.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court back in, 1873, ruled that a black man had no rights of freedom.
And it was the Constitution that we live by, the foundation of this state, that proved that court wrong.
It required a constitutional amendment.
We did get an amendment to the Constitution, and that amendment stands there. Your people are not going to the Congress. These protests are not taking steps taking place on the steps of the Senate. They're taking place in community after community all across this country. And that's not where the movement or motive for constitutional amendment generally comes about.
The Library of Congress just released the internal memoirs of the Supreme Court justices as they were thinking through Roe v. Wade and how they arrived at their decision. And reading through that stuff, it's just incredible to see that they in no way thought or supposed there was a constitutional right for abortion. They were working through theories which they thought would best be believable by the public. And they arrived at this concept that in the penumbra of one of the amendments, there's a right to privacy, and that right gives a woman a right to kill her baby. We don't believe that there's any constitutional protection for taking a baby that's sucking its thumb at 10 weeks and ripping its arm off. We think that if you did that to an unborn dog or monkey in full view of the public, you'd be found insane in a court of law. And Planned Parenthood takes in over $1 million a year at 20th and Vine of killing 70 babies.
You say that, and all your representatives say that, and I'm going to stay away from whether what you think about that. You're entitled. By God, this is still America, and that's why I will treat you with every bit of courtesy that you deserve. You're entitled to be in opposition to me politically, racially, socially, etc. Before you came onto the show, I was talking about the fact that I won't add insult to men, the kind of insult to a woman's plight where men sit around and debate. If women want to talk about that, fine. I can listen and I can steam and stew. But that's a woman's issue, all right? And I'm not going to get into that. What I am concerned about is that you, for instance, sit here like many members of Operation Rescue and you tell me that abortion is a money-making scheme. When the bulk of money-making with babies is centered around childbirth, from the birth and the cost of birthing, where's the bulk
of
money?
I'll explain it to you.
Oh, well, I've got two kids and I put the money out myself.
I hear you, but a doctor, see, you got to look at the time it takes your return. The rate of return isn't as critical as how long it takes to get that return.
What is it? What's the cost of birthing a child today in America? Just ballpark.
$3,000.
$3,000. What's the cost of an abortion?
$300.
Are you suggesting that more women are having abortions than babies are birthed?
No, one third of the women in America abort their babies.
I don't believe that.
Well, that's...
I don't believe. Show me where you get that.
Okay.
I don't believe that.
I'll bring in the documentation for you. But what I'd like to say is a doctor that goes down to 20th and Vine, and they tell their patients, the moms, it's 2 to 3 minutes for the abortion. Mm-hmm. For a two-hour period, the mothers come in, 25 of them on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. They start at 7 o'clock. He shows up 9:30. Mm-hmm. In an hour or two, he's done. $300 each, mm-hmm, times 25 people, mm-hmm, that's some thousands of dollars. He gets a good chunk of that.
So what?
He can make...
So what? Do you want... What part of your argument would be lessened if the doctor did it for nothing?
What I'm saying is that the doctor and the clinic makes an incredible amount of money in a very short period of time with very little equipment.
Shouldn't they?
Well, I didn't know that. They say they're being compassionate. I didn't know compassion took 2 to 3 minutes and cost $290. If you go in with $250, will they give you the abortion? You ask some of the women who've come out of there. And how about the women who go in there with their bodies convulsing in tears and their boyfriends dragging them in there? I mean, I'm there 2 hours.
That's a personal social issue between... That's a personal social issue between two people that may or may not be making a bad decision.
Yeah, but shouldn't the counselor say to the woman who's just falling apart visibly, this is a bad day for you, think about this, go home. You know, in the 8 months I've been there 2 days a week, we've never seen one of these women who went in there falling apart come out ever.
Maybe not.
Doesn't
that depend not on law, but on relationship? I'm a pilot, and there's a doctor in Breckenridge that used to give me my medical review examination to keep my license current. And one day, I'm not an ophthalmologist, so I don't remember what he was, but he was concerned that my eyes seemed larger. They were bulging. He overlooked the fact... And we had a relationship, meet this doctor and me. He overlooked the fact that I had been training for a marathon, my weight was down, and then he was a friend, and he was concerned. And he put a hold to have an ophthalmologist check my eyes for pressure on the optical nerve, and I can't remember what the disease
was called.
Glaucoma, thank you. And it red flagged my medical certificate with the FAA. And I said to him, I've got an airplane sitting down at Arapahoe County Airport. You're putting me in a bad position. He, in a very flip manner, said, buy a boat. I never went back to him.
I don't blame you.
All right? Now, if you've got a relationship with a doctor, that's one thing. But if you go in because you've made a decision that may have taken you 30 seconds or 3 days to have an abortion, you don't need a stranger adding to and complicating
yeah,
that.
They have counselors there, and our problem is that the counselors are not counselors, they're salespeople.
I'm not getting sucked into that. I'm going to stay away from that. Let's take some phone calls. All right. His name is Bob Enyard, Operation Rescue. I don't want to get into the question of a woman's right. Join us 825-5710. Women have periods. Not a man in this country has died from toxic shock syndrome. As a matter of fact, men joked about it when women were trying to figure out what the hell was going on. If I could count on one hand the number of young studs in sailors' uniforms and eagle ball and anchor on their lapels as members of the Corps, talked a good game and talked about the Vietnamese and Filipino and Chinese babies they fathered, we don't really have a good track record when it comes down to whatever the case may be. But so it's still women. Women have babies. Women fall in love. Women, no pun intended, get screwed when the guy decides to go south on them. Bob Enyard is with me. Let's start with Jerry in North Denver. Good morning. You're on KBX with Bob Enyard. Good morning.
Hey, Ken. Ken, let me start off first telling you I am pro-choice.
You're entitled.
Yeah, okay. That being said, something that really does concern me is I see the protesters at the South African embassies being carted away. I see the protesters at the nuclear weapons plants being carted away. And then I see the people who are protesting the abortion clinics being carted away. And it really concerns me that even though I disagree with those people, I think that they are being treated unfairly, and I think the news media has really been remiss in its reporting of that sort of thing. I read an article by the United States Civil Rights Commission, who asked that investigations be done on this because he was concerned with it. And I honestly think that if these people who are these chic people who are protesting the South African embassy, or the people who are outside Rocky Flats were treated in the same manner, mm-hmm. I think that there would be a hue and cry in all of the newspapers.
Question before Bob responds to you. Have you ever had a chance to talk about, or do you know the names of any people who protested at Rocky Flats and have spent as much as 2 or more years in jail?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
But there is a but.
There's a hell of a lot. There's a hell of a lot of neutralizing to your argument when a person protesting Rocky Flats, which continues to present itself as the health hazard that the alleged radicals always said it was, find themselves incarcerated for 2 or more years in a state prison.
To me, abortion isn't the issue. As you say, I really don't feel I have a right to discuss that myself, but Rocky Flats isn't the issue. I just think that we have established in this country that people do have a right to protest and do so and be treated with dignity and be treated in as mild a manner as physically it can
Jerry,
be produced.
He sounds like a black shoplifter at JCPenney's who doesn't understand what happens when you step out of the social grain. Go ahead.
Well, we have people in jail around the country doing many months and years. Randall Terry's in jail in Atlanta for 2 years for a single misdemeanor count, first-time offense. So we know that there are results to our actions. There are ramifications, but we don't feel it's right that just imagine a Denver police officer arresting a prostitute and then taking off his belt and spanking her and teaching her, now you're not going to come back here to Denver. That is exactly what they're doing to us, whether it's a 12-year-old girl or a 65-year-old woman or a guy of any age. I mean, they're punishing us.
On the thing with the statistics, Ken, I think he presented them wrong, but I think perhaps one-third of pregnancies may end in abortion, but 1 out of 3 mothers don't choose to abort their children. Mm-hmm. It's people. I read the book of Marilyn Monroe. She had like 11 abortions. They're women who have them, I think, tend to have lots of them. So I think that maybe one-third of all pregnancies may end that way, but certainly one-third of the women and the mothers in this country have not aborted their children.
Thank you for the correction.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. 825-5710. Let's go to... let's pause here for a second. I'm behind on stuff. I'm getting involved here with Bob Enyard. 825-5710, 2 lines open. Join us. I want to remind you again, Zephyr, We are talking with Bob Enyard, Operation Rescue. They're not pleased with the way police are treating them. And we're going to talk with police officer John Wyckoff. He's going to speak on the behalf of the department side. And I'm going to wait till about 10 up before we bring them up, because I'm going to give Officer Wyckoff a chance to respond and et cetera. But I don't want to mix these two. I don't want to, I'm trying to stay away from oil and water and a cat and dog fight. No cheap radio here this morning. Carl in North Denver, you are on KBX. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ken. Terrific program. I've got a few questions for your great guest, okay?
Yes, sir.
One, how many children has Operation Rescue actually adopted by themselves, where they've given these little babies a nice home and a nice education? How many times has Operation Rescue approached these people who want abortions and say, look, let that baby be born and we will adopt it and take good care of it? That's my question, Ken.
Okay, two answers. One, the answer to the second question is every time. If any woman will stop on her way into the abortion clinic and say, will somebody take and care for our baby? We will say yes. And even if you want to keep that baby, we will find you a home where you could live even up to 6 months after the baby's born. Second, when we picketed at Dr. O'Loughlin's home in southeast Denver, one of the newspapers ran a story saying that a neighbor held up an adoption sign-up sheet and none of us would sign up. Well, if the reporter would have looked a little more carefully, she would have seen that there were five Oriental children under the age of three on the picket line with parents. None of the parents were Orientals. These five kids were adopted. One had a third of an arm. In this country, if you want to adopt a hard-to-adopt baby, you are going, I mean someone who has AIDS or handicapped, mental, physical, you're going to wait 6 to 12 months. And many of our people are on the adoption waiting list rolls.
I don't want to call you a liar. As a matter of fact, Bob, I won't do that. I will only present this question on the table. Your organization, Operation Rescue, and other pro-life groups have been taking that beating for a long time. People like me and this gentleman on the line have asked you, I'm concerned about the number of black or socially unacceptable babies out there that don't find themselves woven into middle America for any period of time.
Black and babies, Hispanics,
okay, but hold on. But you've been taking a beating on this point for a very long time, long enough to garnish an absolute public relations coup by coming up clearly with statistics, stats, examples, the real families, and you haven't done that.
I don't know what you mean.
I'm saying that Operation Rescue has not demanded time in Denver. You've not walked through that door with a multiracial of any group family. You've not done it with ABC, CBS, or NBC.
We could have them here this afternoon.
But you've not done it. You've not done it. You are welcome back to show me national stats. But I'm not just saying one interracial family in Denver.
Okay.
I'm talking as Carl is making the point. National, across the nation. Where, and you don't even have to have those kids. Show me where you're making the plea.
How many families? Do you want to see 100 families here?
No. But you've got to figure out the numbers. Here's what I'm trying to say to you.
Okay.
Show me where the social attitude is so ingrained in this country that people of European extraction like yourself or Asian extraction or black or Hispanic who support your perspective are making requests. And the system is saying, no, we will encourage these black, brown, white women to abort their children rather than to farm out these children. Show me that, because that's a constant attack that comes from us to you.
Okay, I would put out a plea. If there is a single person out there in your audience who knows of a single baby who's unwanted, call our number, 289-4551, and we will pick up that baby, and we will love that baby and care for that baby.
Carl, go ahead, sir.
That was a terrific answer, but I just like you, Ken, and I'll stop talking. I want to see the actual statistics. I'd like to know how many members are there to Operation Rescue. Let's say there's 1,000 or 10,000. I'd like to see actual statistics of 10,000 members of Operation Rescue. How many little babies have they actually taken into their homes and taken care of them?
Right.
That is all, Ken.
Thank
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Fred, you're on KBX. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ken.
How are you?
I just have a couple things I'd like to say. If these people are really, truly concerned with protecting innocent lives, why aren't they out there protesting the Israeli treatment of Palestinians? Second, I do believe that the police should give these people dignity when arresting them. But I also believe that the judge should extract the cost of police intervention when they're not guilty of illegally blocking access to public buildings. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. He's, you want to respond to
sure.
Palestinians, South Africa,
I have,
poverty?
I have written, I lived with a South African in college, roommate.
Mm-hmm.
I've written letters about the South African problem. It's a travesty. It's a scar on the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's injustice all around.
Mm-hmm.
In our country, in our own backyard, we're killing 4,500 babies every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great injustice worthy of a priority attention.
Okay. All right. 8255710, let's go to Jeannie in Wheatridge. We're talking with Bob Enyard, by the way. He represents Operation Rescue. Bob, for those who agree with your point of view, if you want to give your number again, please feel comfortable to do that.
It's 289-4551.
Okay.
That's our office.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen footage of your people on the picket lines, and I don't want to be sensational, but sometimes they appear to be, and these are my choice of words, a bit hysterical and out of control. Now, I realize I'm sitting in the comfort of my living room, and I remember what people thought was going on in Chicago.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Ken.
All right?
We have an event, and it brings out all kinds of people. It brings out crazy people. It brings out mm-hmm. pro-aborts who go around sexually assaulting people. We can't control that.
Pro-aborts that go around... There's a mouthful.
Yeah, it sure was.
Focus down on it.
We had four people, three guys and one woman, sexually assaulted by a Planned Parenthood employee with witnesses.
A Planned Parenthood. So what does that imply?
The woman grabbed the guys by the groin, and she fondled the woman's breasts and,
uh-huh.
and grabbed her.
What was that in relation to?
That was at our last arrest.
No, but what was it in relation to? Come on, what was the whole story associated with that? I'm not even going to call you a liar and say it didn't happen. I'm going to ask whether there's more to the story than that.
No, that's the whole story. That's exactly
that's it.
The story.
So what do we? What do
she
we,
wanted us to leave. So
what, well, I'm trying to remember, what we garnish from that there is a higher level of moral deprivation and debauchery
in
the ranks of Planned Parenthood?
No, what I'm saying is that both, in a controversial event, both uh-huh. sides will draw people who uh-huh. don't know how to behave themselves.
Yeah.
We train our people not to...
It's just a African-American member of this community and went to your picket line, complied with the police when they asked me to move out of an entranceway... I would be beat up by the police, is that what you're telling
yes.
me?
Well, no, not if you comply. If you walk away, they'll be thrilled that they don't have to carry you.
Okay.
But if you just sit there silently mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. passive,
mm-hmm.
they will hit you, twist your arms, bend your fingers, mm-hmm. you know, possibly break one of your bones.
Mm-hmm.
We've been lucky here, but in other cities, people have been wounded. Severely.
It's not just the Denver then. You started out by saying Denver was more severe than other
my
places.
My personal experience. Los Angeles has broken arms.
Okay. So there are other cities that you have
Pittsburgh has sexually assaulted quite a few college women.
No, wait. Come on.
Well, the chairman of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, William Allen, has called for investigation.
How members of the Pittsburgh Police Department assaulted
when they arrested college women, they assaulted them with full body searches, men searching women. They brought them into the jails. They stripped them in front of male prisoners.
Okay.
There's a major investigation going on in Pittsburgh on this, but the problem is the national media doesn't care. The national media has not told the country that 35,000 people have been arrested since
May
88.
You're telling me, now let me get this straight, Bob Enyard, that... If a police department, as you claim occurred in Pittsburgh, would search with men present, I'm not going to say it didn't happen. I'm going to say to you that NBC, ABC,
CBS,
CNN, would not be interested in this story.
Full page Wall Street Journal editorial written by William Allen
mm-hmm. about the fact or the accusation.
About the accusation,
okay. All right.
which
different,
he
different,
said
okay.
has credible evidence.
All right. The accusation.
Involved.
The accusation.
You don't get dozens of college women, I think, generally to cook up such a bizarre story. Mm-hmm. In
but
front
here
of
were
male
these,
prisoners.
These fair maidens from institutions of higher learning, standing nude, quivering, chilled, goosebump-ridden bodies with men leering on, saliva dripping from the corners of their mouths, guffawing, and generally, which one would you pick, Charlie? That was the impression that you want to give us.
Their breasts were fondled. They were pulled by their shirts and bras upstairs past a gauntlet of male guards.
Mm-hmm.
Jeering and kicking.
If that turns out to be true, obviously you will find me a supporter against that kind of treatment for anyone.
Even
a person who's arrested on the grounds of having committed a felony, all right? We don't do that in this
country.
You're
right.
All right? And if that can be substantiated, I will be one of your supporters to see that that comes to a stop in not just Pittsburgh, but any city across this country. Other people want to talk to you. Let's go back to the phone. And to Padre in downtown Denver very quickly. Padre, you're on KBX. Good morning.
Good morning, Ken, and your guest. First of all, I want to tell you, if you want to hear or read about the lowdown on a week-to-week basis all across the country, you should see a copy of The Wanderer every week.
What's that?
Well, it's a national conservative Catholic paper, but it documents town after town at grade after grade. But I have something that's bothering
me. Wait, what are we documenting? What are we trying to see?
What happens to these people by various police departments. I remember one of the worst on record is what they did down in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman is not filling your pipe full of good bubbles.
Well, hold on. I'm not 12 years old.
I know you're not.
Dallas, Texas, recently was on the national news for the high number of bad shootings against civilians and traffic stops and so on. And I'm suggesting that I'm surprised that there would be no report of something like that as long as it came out of the, if it was substantiated. But we're talking about a student.
But you've got to remember the bias of a lot of the media is for the pro-abortionists, so therefore they're not letting us know the other side.
I think I could prove media bias right in here and now, probably to your satisfaction.
Go ahead.
The civil rights movement took about 10 years.
Uh-huh.
How many people were arrested?
I can't give you the numbers.
It was about 15,000.
Mm-hmm. We heard about it when somebody got killed.
Number. Since May of 88, we've had 35,000 plus people arrested in Operation Rescue events.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the media, national media, has ignored this. We had a rescue on Veterans Day in Washington, D.C. 280 vets in uniform met at the Vietnam Wall, marched to an abortion mill, shut it all day.
Mm-hmm.
They got arrested, some mishandled by police. Even vets with no arms and legs were there in wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
Not one word by any national media outlet anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm. 825-5710. Let me again remind you, Bob Enyard is with us. He is representing Operation Rescue. I'll tell you what, if he is willing to do it, will you check to see if Officer Wyckoff is willing to come on now, and we'll get their input. I don't want you guys going at each other, all right? I'm going to give him as much opportunity to make his point as you've had. The lines are full. We'll get back to callers. I think people want to speak directly to and hear what each of you have to say. Let's go back to Jeannie in Wheat Ridge. You're on KBX with Bob Enyard. Good morning.
Good morning, Ken and Bob. I just wanted to make two points, really. One is, I don't know why it's such a shock to find our position and what our people are doing in the pro-life movement not being reported in the newspapers and in the major media,
mm-hmm.
when the whole object of the controversy is the unborn child. And when was the last time you saw the little fetus in the newspaper? When has the public been educated as to who we're talking about, who we're fighting for? They don't put fetal facts in the newspaper. They don't put the picture of the baby in there.
Do you remember a few days after the Webster decision, the two-page spread that Rocky Mountain News did on the four major abortion techniques? Well, that's a facetious question because they never did that. They've never explained to the public how abortion occurs. There's different popular methods. They have all kinds of interesting complications. There's all kinds of issues that go on inside the abortion mill that the public has never been educated in. And the Rocky Mountain News and the Denver Post are completely guilty of being irresponsible in reporting this issue.
Well, absolutely. The only thing you need to really educate yourself on the entire issue of abortion is Warren Hearn, the Boulder abortionist book of abortion practice.
All right. Thank you.
But the second point was, a man called a while ago and accused Bob, essentially, of not having any right to speak out for unborn children because he hadn't solved all the other problems of the world. Now, our country, or seven men on the Supreme Court, disqualified unborn children for life, and the children can't speak out and say, wait a minute. But Bob is a man who can speak out, and he doesn't have to say, I've adopted 10 children and taken care of 30,000 more in South Africa, or spoken out about Palestine. don't try to disqualify people for taking the stands that they take in life. Mm. And you
while
don't get away
here,
with it with adults, Ken.
Jeannie, while you're here, let me ask you this question. Abortion, women who have abortion tend to be better educated. They tend to be approximately 25 to 28 years old. They tend to have health insurance. They tend to be employed. And they tend to be white. There are some people who would attach themselves to your movement, Bob, or your movement represents it, that are very much concerned that there's a flourishing birth rate between amongst brown and black people in this country.
Flourishing?
Flourishing. More than Anglos are being born. Flourishing.
The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in 76 released a report on abortion that said that blacks were receiving close to 30% of the abortions in the United States, while they made up, I think it was, 8 to 11% of the population.
That's, again, untrue. White females are having the greater percentage of abortions in this country. They have the...
Here at the 20th and Vine, I would agree with you. Most of the women who go in there are white.
Again, I apologize to both of you for having this conversation without my stats in front of me.
Can you change the subject?
No, I'm not changing the subject. You put a period there, and I wanted to ask you a question while I have you.
But that has nothing to do with disqualifying Bob for speaking out on it.
And I agree. Bob can't solve the problems of the world. All right? And I'm not going to argue that point with you. I think your defense of Bob is adequate and well taken.
Period.
But I now turn to another point, and that is that the whole pro-life movement is xenophobically and racistly motivated.
I think Margaret Sanger would say she was out to get your kind of people,
okay.
Ken.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right. 825-5710. Will we be able to get Officer Wyckoff to join us? Oh, he's not around. All right. No problem. We'll worry about that a little later on. Sharif in Denver, very briefly, because you were on earlier this morning, your question. Go ahead, sir. You're on KBX.
I know I was on earlier, Ken, but I just want to ask the gentleman, before he ends the show or before he goes off the show, to give adequate information about the organization, because I'm interested in learning more about the organization and even to the point of getting involved.
Okay. Thank you, Sharif. All right. Go ahead.
Well, if you just take down a phone number, 289-4551, we will put you on our mailing list and let you know about our events. We no longer are announcing rescues. We used to announce that we're going to have a rally Friday night, and Saturday we'd have a rescue. And a few problems. For one, the police lined up in riot gear with dogs and horses and the whole bit and just beat the pulp out of us.
What do you think you cost a community each time you have a rescue, as you put it?
Well,
each time you inhibit a woman's choice.
Is it a community acting with any kind of reasonable decision-making process, or a community that's out to crush us and beat us up? Let's look at Fort Collins. In fact, did just what they've done nationwide with over 20,000 rescuers who have risked arrest and closed down abortion mills. No one was arrested in Fort Collins. That's an option. And I think if the police were a little smarter, they might realize that if you ignore us, we might go away.
The courts are now putting, let's move Chern in, and then Jim and Evergreen, I clipped you there because we're getting close to the top. I want to get some more callers on. The courts are now imposing a $200 bond on you people. You're howling and screaming and whining about that, too. You're saying, hey, you're not being fair to us.
We weren't howling and screaming.
Sure,
we just refused to pay the bond.
Okay.
And all 44 of us were going to stay in jail until they let us out.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because they arrested 60 of us on July 8th, and we all showed up in court.
Mm-hmm.
The bond is to make sure that an irresponsible person shows up.
Mm-hmm.
We're responsible. We're people in the community who have jobs, own businesses, go to church twice a week, raise families, help in rescue missions.
What does that mean?
That means that they can trust that on the basis of our previous conduct that we'll show up.
Now, if you are repetitious, if you're prolific about your reappearance in court after these rescues, and there's a pattern of flagrant disregard for local ordinances, should a bond then be imposed to make it a little bit more difficult? You know, we're all concerned about this revolving door of justice.
Yeah, the bond isn't what's going to make it difficult. What's going to make it difficult is throwing people in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And
Now, your people complained. You said the bond wasn't fair. You said it made it difficult. It was a hardship on people, $200. Now you're changing that.
No, not that it was a hardship. I mean, most of our people are working people.
Yeah.
You could bond out with a bondsman at 10%. 10, 20
mm-hmm.
bucks.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the issue. The mm-hmm. issue was that we believe we're not breaking the law.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course you believe that. I'm not disputing
right.
that. I'm
right.
just trying to respond to how you are treated in the system. People are now coming through, and the system is saying, we're going to put a $200 bond on you.
And they can do that. We just
and you cited,
pretty much will refuse to pay.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Jim in Evergreen, you're on KBX. Good morning.
Good morning, Ken. I'm going to try not to talk about the issue of pro-choice or pro-life, just address the demonstration itself. And your guest seems to be upset that he wasn't treated with what he called the proper dignity. And as I see it, by blockading the entrance to any building or any business establishment, they put themselves in a category of somebody who's breaking the law. And from what I can see, they have been treated with the dignity befitting that sort of behavior.
So you would suggest that dignity was not deserving by the thousands involved in the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King.
Not everyone in the civil rights movement would say they were treated with dignity in southern jails.
Oh, no, they weren't, but they deserved dignity.
The pattern, I don't want to insult the progress of law enforcement today or the attitude towards the rights of all citizens, how we've changed now to then, but the pattern of ill treatment and how people perceive it is consistent. I mean, when you go to jail, they strip you, they search you, they do things that you don't normally
sure.
have done to you.
And if it was only me getting my arms or fingers twisted, I probably wouldn't waste my time because this is defocusing. We're here to fight abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's a 12-year-old girl, when it's my 105-pound wife, sorry, honey, when it's a 65-year-old woman, I would be irresponsible not to be out there and try to protect
what
them.
Jim, do you have children?
Well, they're all grown.
Yeah, they're adults. How old? Give me the youngest age.
Oh, 24.
All right. When your son or daughter?
Son.
When you sit down over a cup of cold coffee with your son and say, son, I wouldn't recommend you do this in a situation that would involve a confrontation with police, isn't it because so many years of life on the planet experience has taught you that certain risks are inherent, and in fact, there's a guarantee of some level of discomfort?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that stop me, Bob, from suggesting a 12-year-old girl, you've got to weigh whether she is a good photo op versus the reality of what's likely to happen when you... your people do get into scuffles. They refuse to get up. They refuse to leave. This whole thing is about not liking what the police do to you. Your 105-pound wife... She thinks she's overweight or what? She's not. That's a good weight. And or a 12-year-old girl. I mean, I wouldn't suggest my 12-year-old daughter go out, and I wouldn't want my wife there.
Well, we're not thrilled.
But it's her choice to be there.
Yeah, we're not thrilled that there's children there, but these children have a strong commitment and a determination
your
to get
wife,
involved.
Your wife of 105 pounds has a right as an adult American to make that choice. A 12-year-old girl becomes a, can I use the word pawn?
No, that's not at all the case. We have encouraged parents not to have their kids come. Their kids drag the parents. There have been rescues in this country with
Jim,
only
you
children.
You want to respond to that?
There have been rescues where there have been only children where the parents didn't even know about it.
Jim, you want to respond to that? The children are dragging the parents.
Yeah, I find that hard to swallow. The other point that noticed is that the caller and your guest have both...
Hold on, I hear what you're saying. Go ahead, Jim, go ahead.
The previous lady caller from Wheat Ridge as well as your guest seem to be concerned that they aren't getting the proper publicity.
Mm-hmm.
And
I hear you.
And I think this 12-year-old girl is an attempt to get that publicity.
All right.
And also, I do believe that... their people are taught tactics that are meant to provoke the police in order to get the publicity they want.
Your point's noted. Let's go to... I've got to move to a mobile.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ross, you're on KBX. Thanks for your call.
I can't say... You know, one of the real problems with this whole deal is that you... Just as you said a little while ago, you said that what happens or what's the cost of it, of their demonstrations to the community when they're out preventing a woman from exercising her choice. And when you start off with a big lie like that, golly, how can you possibly have any kind of rational response from anyone on either side?
What's the big lie?
The big lie is that's preventing her from exercising her choice because she's exercised her choice already. when she decided to become pregnant, she exercised the choice.
Now, that's your belief. That's not her choice. She can change her mind. It's her body.
Yeah, but see, the deal is, Kent, if it was only her body that was
that's
affected...
That's your belief. You can't carry a pregnancy. You can influence your daughter, discuss it with your wife, but you can't carry a pregnancy.
No, I can't. I've certainly been parts of one. No.
Well, of course. That's what makes a pregnancy come about.
And... Well, I've been part of it that way. I've been part of it when my mother was pregnant.
Well, sure.
Now,
too.
If my mother had chosen to have an abortion or kill me,
yeah,
I wouldn't be here talking to you today. So there is somebody else involved.
And that is a moot point. What's the big deal?
The big deal is that she had the choice once already.
And she made it, and you think it was a good choice, but if she didn't make it,
no. It's
a moot point. That's not a legitimate argument.
No, she made the choice.
Uh-huh.
She made the choice to become pregnant. Then it became inconvenient, and when it was inconvenient, then it's, well, I don't want to do this anymore. Well, I'm going to take it out on somebody else.
When you look at summer and pregnancy, et cetera, a lot of women make that choice and stick by it. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Ken.
Bob Enyard, thank you for being with us. We'll be back. CNN coming at you. I'm Ken Hamblin. If you've got some closing remarks, we'll touch base and go on to our next guest. This is KBX 710 Denver. It's a moot point. That's not a legitimate argument.
No, she made the choice.
Uh-huh.